morning, family. What a wonderful way to start this portion of the service. Just talking to our Father. Thought about little children. They get together and oftentimes their discussion comes to their daddies. Well, my daddy this and my daddy that, and all the different aspects of their daddies and what they can do and how strong they are and how smart they are. And I'd like to talk about the head of our family this morning. So if you can control yourselves, just let me talk for a while, and then afterwards y'all can join in. And yeah, if you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. When I was out at sea on the ship, there were times where you weren't on duty and you didn't have a particular job. You had to do some little bit of free time in between watches and all. And whether it was nighttime or daytime, a lot of people like to go out on the weather decks and look out at the ocean and at the sky. And I remember many times just standing out there just looking at the ocean and the waves and the power and the immensity, and thinking about God, thinking about his power and his greatness. And I looked down at the ocean, and the surface of the ocean, the waves were awe-inspiring. But I wondered oftentimes what was down below, what I couldn't see. It's kind of like this floor here. We see the floor, and it's holding up. There's stuff under there, you know. The children know that. There's stuff under there. You know what's down there. Maybe you don't see everything that's down there. So I often wondered, what's it like down deeper, deeper? And a lot of people have gone scuba diving or gone in, deep vehicles, things like that, to look down there. And maybe you've seen some of the pictures and the videos of the marvelous things that are down there, and it's just, that's awe-inspiring. Well, I've never scuba dove, never done that, but there's stuff down there if you go deeper, deeper, deeper. About a month ago, I was inspired by the surface waves of the familiar verse here that I want to look at, seeing the sun glistening on the surface. And I began to wonder what was below the surface. And I think maybe I was inspired with it because God knew that's what I needed at the particular time. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Is what I'm looking at. And as I looked at this, I started to think about what God can teach me in this that I might be able to share in a simple way to try to extol, exalt, praise, magnify our God. And I looked at this, and it talks about four different characteristics, four different facets of the Messiah, of Christ, of Jesus. And I thought, well, there's probably four sermons in there. Well, no, we can make it one and talk about these four things. And as I was looking at over the last couple of weeks, maybe two. Maybe two sermons. As I went to my study yesterday morning to try to get some direction, it's definitely four messages. So we'll do this one today and see what the Lord has for the future. But I want to look at this, the beginning of this, thinking about going deeper. I think about Job, Job chapter 42, at the end of his whole experience there, he made this very profound statement. He says, I heard of you with the hearing of my ears. I had an understanding, a perspective of who you are, but now I have seen with my eyes. And yeah, think of Job's, the transformation in Job after having seen God, the deeper aspects of God. So I'd like to see what we can see here. The context is important. We have two verses here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. I'll read verse 6 in a little bit. That's what we're looking at, are two words in that verse. But the context here, those two verses are verses of hope. They're verses that shine a light to the future and a promise of God and a blessing that God wants to give to his people. But surrounded by that gleaming light are ocean waves of storm and turmoil and trouble. And the children of Israel here are suffering, and they're being told that there's going to come a time you're going to be carried away into exile. And they're just really having a difficult time. No fault of God's. Very difficult time. And that's all around these two verses. In my 9th and 10th grade Bible class last week, we were looking at John chapter 9. The man born blind, and the disciples saw this man and asked Jesus, who sinned, his father or this man, that he was born blind? And that just opened up a whole discussion in the class. I've got 26 students in that class, 9th and 10th graders. And I gave them a homework assignment after our discussion. It was just one question. It was, why does God allow his children to suffer? I had 26 papers. I brought five. I won't read all five of them. I'll read two of them. These are 9th and 10th grade students that in our discussion are having their understanding open. They're seeing deeper into the things of God, deeper into life. Israel is suffering here. And most of their suffering is because of their own rebellion. I think God allows us to suffer so that he can be glorified. Also, it strengthens us so that we can face hard things, and it strengthens our faith so we can trust that God will carry us through. When we go through something hard, we can better know how to pray for and encourage others because we know what it is like. Suffering is a result of the sin that is in this world. It reminds us that we are not perfect and keeps us looking forward to eternity. Suffering can cause bitterness, but when suffering is accepted as God's will, it can lead to new growth. Many lessons can be learned through suffering that can be learned no other way. Suffering can keep us humble and remind us that we are not in control of many things in our lives. This can lead us to trust God more fully and grow our faith. If we allow it to, suffering will draw us closer to God. 9th and 10th graders. Deeper. I want to look deeper. So the context is life on this earth. Again, I don't want to look at the Israelites here. I want to look at us. I want to look at us. The context of life on this earth. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 begins with, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called," and in your Bibles, there's probably a comma after the word wonderful. And that's fine. There's different interpretations here. Some translations use the comma, some do not. as I look back in the Hebrew and studied in that, that was not their understanding. It works both ways. Believe me, if you just say his name shall be called Wonderful, you can go with that. And he certainly is. Beyond our imagination. But I really appreciate the Hebrew understanding, and this is what I want to look at today. These two words. And I'll use this for the title, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. And then it goes on, a couple of other things. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it talks about his authority and all. But I want to look here. For unto us a child is born, just briefly. In the midst of the stormy sea, as the billows roll, there's a stream of light. Here on these two verses, and in our life also, a stream of light. For unto us. For unto us, that's personal. God is saying that there's going to be something given, someone given, just for you. And every one of us in here can claim that, and everybody in the world can claim that. This is for us. For unto us, a profound declaration of hope in this turbulent time. This prophecy was given during a time of great turmoil and darkness for Israel as a beacon of hope. Think of a lighthouse as a ship is struggling out at sea in the waves and the threats of the rocks and the shoals, and there's a lighthouse there. There's a light giving direction. And a reminder of God's faithfulness. So for unto us, a child, it says, is born. This is a prophecy of something future, something hundreds of years later. But in God's timeline, in God's sphere, it's as if it had already happened. It indicates the unfailing certainty of God's plan, as if it's already been accomplished. And then it says, unto us a son is given. And that indicates that it's a gift. It's not something we can purchase and not something we can earn. It's something that God gives freely to whosoever will. It says there's a child and there's a son. I think we could possibly go there and say it indicates the humanity and the divinity of God. A child and a son. The government shall be upon his shoulder. In those days, the image of bearing something on the shoulder gave the symbolic weight of responsibility and leadership upon the person. So I just want to dive in to the depths and let the light of his beaming presence open his treasure. And I want to gaze at just four of the jewels that he's offered to us. And today we're just going to look at one of the jewels. One multifaceted jewel today. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Whose name? His name. The Messiah. It's talking about the Messiah. It's talking about the Christ. It's talking about Jesus himself. It's talking about our Lord and our Savior. It's talking about our God. And in this name, there's many, many names of Christ. There's many names of God, and these are all just characteristics. I sometimes ask my students, what is your name? And they'll tell me their name. I said, do you have any other names? Well, they do. We all do. Galen, how many names do you have? Yeah. Husband, daddy, grandpa, my accountant, or, you know, just deacon, lots of names. And they all describe various aspects of the person. And so we're looking here at an aspect of this jewel. Jewel, that's not even a good enough word. Wonderful Counselor. When I was in the Navy, we had the military has a very detailed promotion system. Who gets promoted to the next rank? And part of that system is testing, but another part, probably the major part that people are so concerned about, is their annual evaluation. And so they have grades on different things and then a narrative. And they say all sorts of wonderful things for the ones that they want to get promoted because the competition is so great. As you get into the upper ranks, you go before a selection board, and they're looking at all these things, and, okay, this was written about this one, this one. And they begin to use ridiculous platitudes that not anybody could live up to. I remember one of the most amusing ones I ever saw on somebody's evaluation was, he can nail Jell-O to a tree. Just trying to come up with some adjectives or some descriptions of how wonderful this person is to try to put him a little bit ahead of somebody else and get him promoted. And it was kind of amusing to read these evaluations and all the things that they came up with to say about these people, most of which was not true. And yeah, the word wonderful is used many times. We use that word wonderful. And when we use the word wonderful, it's wonderful. You think of things that are wonderful. I personally, as I look out the window, I think that's wonderful. You may disagree with me, but I think the snow is wonderful. But when we come here and we have human language trying to attribute to a holy God words that are limited, it's helpful to go deeper. Because who wrote these words? Well, some Jewish scribe wrote these. No, God wrote these words. And God wrote these words in a very precise way. Wonderful Counselor. Every attempt that human language makes to describe our God, our Jesus, falls way short. I believe with my whole heart that God is trying to work among us in many different ways to instill into our hearts a deeper and ever-deepening sense of awe. A sense of awe of his awesomeness, of who he is. Because the deeper we get into our sense of awe, Psalm 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Meditate on your beds of his awesomeness, his greatness. And I think that's God's desire, is that we come before him with a sense of awe. And so we look at these words, wonderful counselor. Okay, we know what wonderful is, we know what a counselor is. No. This is talking about our Lord. And I want to try to help us to get a sense of awe in what God is saying here. Wonderful counselor. The Hebrew word here for wonderful is peleh. Peleh. And that means nothing to you. But this word peleh is used not a lot of times in the scripture. I think it was maybe 15 times in the Old Testament. But the definition is where we need to look. So I'm going to go to, you can just stay right here in Isaiah 9. But this word is used the first time in Exodus 15:11. This is just after God has delivered Israel through the Red Sea, and this is the Song of Moses. Now, try to imagine what these people had just experienced. I can't imagine what they just experienced. All right, the sea opening up, them going through on dry ground, and then seeing the sea come back down on the army, and they're just so awe-inspired, and they're so without the ability to express, and so they begin to try. You ever done that? Tried to express something inexpressible and you just stumble about? And so this Song of Moses comes out, and in verse 11 it says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing pele, doing wonders, wonderful counselor? This word pele describes something that we can't accomplish, describes something that we can't create. This word pele, this wonderful, is miraculous. It's supernatural. It's something far beyond human comprehension, far beyond human ability to replicate. Miraculous, supernatural, marvelous, inexpressible, pele. So, it says he will be called Wonderful Counselor. What kind of a counselor? A miraculous counselor. A supernatural counselor. And we're going to look at that. What they had just experienced, they could not describe. So what was the context? What was the context? A stormy sea? Trials in life? Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy pele, thy wonders of old. I will remember. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. So we think about the past, and we think about what God has done for us. We think about the marvels and the wonders and the miraculous deliverance for me, for you. And we think about his faithfulness to all generations. The young ones here don't have that list of experiences. As we get older, we have a list that we dare not forget. We remember how God has helped us in ages past, how God has been faithful every time, how God has led me through this trial, through this difficulty. And so we face the next one. We say, my God is there. My God will handle this. I can rest in assurance. Wonderful, wonderful, miraculous, supernatural. So what about the counselor part? I could have gone on. I had a whole list of verses on the wonderful thing, and I thought, we don't want to make two messages out of the first two words, so take that wonderful and grasp onto it and study it, and dig deeper. Counselor. So the Hebrew word there for counselor is yoetz. So pele yoetz. Pele yoetz. And what does that mean? The counselor there is one who gives guidance, gives wisdom, gives counsel, advises, gives purpose. Okay, that doesn't sound too much unlike a counselor that we might have in this life. You've probably all talked to counselors. Some of you are counselors. So, you know, we want to give guidance with wisdom and counsel and advise and purpose. There's a tremendous difference here, though. When God gives counsel, his counsel, his guidance, his purpose is unfailingly, unchangingly, unerringly truth. Perfect. He doeth all things well. We can't claim that. We can hopefully give counsel based on truth, but we err, we change, we fail. So this is what separates God as our counselor from all others. I want to look at Job 28. Again, just stay in Isaiah there. Just a couple of verses here I want to look at in Job 28. This is Job speaking. And Job is talking to God. This is a little more than halfway through Job's experience. And Job says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Job was in a very deep struggle here in his life. He was suffering. And he was crying out to God. And his friends weren't being very helpful. He says, where can wisdom be found? And he says, man doesn't know the price of it. The depth says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. And then he goes on, he talks about gold and silver and onyx and sapphire and crystal and jewels of fine gold and coral. They can't claim wisdom and understanding. The price of wisdom is above rubies. It's far above. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Verse 20 says, whence then cometh wisdom? He searched the world over, just like we do. We search the world over for help, for counsel, for wisdom, for advice. And yes, there are times when we can find help if it's based in truth. But he says, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Verse 23 in Job 28 says, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. And I'll skip down to the last verse. And this is a good verse for us to make a life verse. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So what kind of counselor is God? He is a wonderful counselor. Pele, he is a wonderful counselor. He is supernatural. He is divine. He is miraculous. He is true, through and through. And he gives counsel, and his counsel is what? Fear God and depart from evil. Pele, Yahweh, divine, unfailing wisdom and guidance. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is Jesus. This is the one that we're talking about. We're extolling our head. We're magnifying our Lord. We're talking about our Abba Father. And this is who he is. The source of all truth and wisdom, who knows the end from the beginning, capable of guiding us through all of life's challenges. This Pele Yahweh, this wonderful counselor, does not merely give you a good option. He doesn't just give you enough to get by, does he? Sometimes he may give you an immense amount of help and encouragement. Sometimes it's not quite that much, but every time it's just right. It's just what we need. He counsels in such a way that takes us to the miraculous, in such a way that the result far exceeds our expectation above all that we ask or think. When we come to God with a request or a need, we may think that we expect about right here. But God gives way up there somewhere, way up there, beyond what we could ask or think. With our God, Pele awaits, the result is far above. I'd like to look at a couple of verses here. I lost this one. Let me turn to this. Ephesians 3. Verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is talking about the same person that we're talking about, our God, our Lord, our Savior. Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Turn a couple pages to Isaiah chapter 25. Just a couple verses there I want to look at. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 and 4. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done pele, wonderful things. Thou hast done miraculous, supernatural things. This again is a divine word. It's not a human word. It's not a human thing that we can attain to. This is what God can do alone. Wonderful things. Thy counsels. So we have both in this verse, the wonder and the counsel. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor. Anybody say amen? A strength to the needy in his distress. Anybody say amen? A refuge from the storm. Amen. A shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. This is our God. This is our Pele Yoetz. This is our wonderful counselor. Two verses in chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Again, familiar verse, but let's dive down deeper. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Why can we trust in him? Because he is trustworthy. He has proved himself. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Two verses in Romans 11. I'll just read those. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? And I don't want to take the time this morning to go to Isaiah 40 that asks who has given counsel to God? Who has been his counselor? Who has he gone to for answers? Nobody. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the wonderful counselor. That was a relatively quick glimpse at an exceedingly immense subject. And I determined to try to help you leave here early today. So I left about half of my notes on my desk. Thank you, Brother Don. So when we find ourselves in the uncertainties of life, when we find ourselves in the stormy seas, we find ourselves looking for the lighthouse, well, we know where to find him. He's right there. Jesus, Pele Yoetz, our wonderful counselor. And that's just the first facet in this passage. We have to remember that he is our mighty God also. And there's some very awe-inspiring things under the surface of that one too. So maybe next time. Let's kneel for prayer.